Well, it is great to see you today. Thank you for being here. You've got your Bibles. I want to invite you to open up with me for a few moments to Psalm 139, where we'll be this morning. Now, let me just begin by saying, I said this to you last week. This morning, especially our part of our worship experience that focuses on the Word of God, is going to be a little bit out of the norm for us. So if you're a visitor, this is typically not how we do things. But we're sort of at a pinnacle on our journey as a church that needs to be discussed on the largest forum that we have, which is our Sunday morning worship experience. And so this morning we're going to be turning our attention a great deal towards where we feel like God is leading us, especially as it concerns our facilities and how we function facilities-wise as a church. But before I do that, let me just say a quick word of prayer, and then I want us to turn our attention towards Scripture for a few moments. Father, I just thank you so much for the worship experience we've already had today. And Lord, the song that we just sang, Lord, that's more than just words to me. Lord, I am intimately aware of how much I need you. And Lord, I need you not only to function as a husband and a father, but Lord, just to be the kind of man that you want me to be. And Lord, I need you this morning to be able to lead this church and to say the right things that need to be said and to not say the things that don't need to be said. And Lord, I just pray that my thoughts would be your thoughts and my words would be your words. And Lord, I pray not only for myself, but I pray for those that sit in the chairs all throughout this sanctuary. Lord, I thank you for what they mean to the life of Crossroads. And Lord, I pray that you would help our hearts to resonate in unity as we see how you are leading us and you're guiding us. God, we thank you for the mission you've given us. We thank you for the gospel we get to proclaim to a lost and dying world. And we pray this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the question I have gotten most throughout my ministerial career is this. Pastor, how do I know what the will of God is for my life? How can I discover what the will of God is? And now, sometimes that's a really easy question to answer because on many things, the Bible just makes it clear, okay? That bank you're praying about robbing, okay, I can just help you with that. That is not the will of God for your life, okay? That affair that you're on the brink of having as you pray about that, listen, that is not the will of God for your life. That lie that you're tempted to say, you think, well, is it God's will for me to lie in this situation? The answer to that is always clear. The answer is no, it's not. Okay, if we can just understand that. But let's just be honest, there are a lot of gray areas in life where we say, well, how do I know what the will of God is? And, you know, should I take this job opportunity? Looks like a great job opportunity, but is it God's direction for my life? Should I put my kids in this school or should I put my kids in that school? Which direction should I go? And I hope you pray about those things. You should. Is it the right time for me to sell my house? Those are the kind of things we should be praying about. In fact, I can't really think of anything in your life that you shouldn't be praying about. And if God knows the numbers of hairs that are on your head, and for some of you that's a rapidly decreasing number, okay? If he has our tears in a bottle, then God knows everything about us. And he intimately is concerned about the direction of our life. And so the question remains, how do we find God's direction in those moments? And I would say to you, this isn't just kind of a personal conundrum. This isn't just a personal issue, but really this is an issue that churches go through as well. As individuals, we say, God, how can I find your will? But as churches, too, we say, God, how can we find your direction? And I'll tell you a couple of things that kind of always help me as I'm seeking for God's direction, especially in those gray areas. Now, if the Bible says it, I believe it, and I just have to stand on it. Okay, that settles that. But in those areas where it's a little more gray, one of the things I look for, especially in corporate settings, is unity. You know, Psalm 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. You know, where there's unity in the body of Christ, we can find comfort there. Because the same Holy Spirit that lives in me, if you're my brother and sister in Christ, that Holy Spirit dwells in you, and that Holy Spirit sort of resonates. Saw a wonderful example of this one time. Someone was teaching, and on the platform was a baby grand piano. And you'll be spared the physical illustration today because we don't have a baby grand piano. And they had someone come sit at the baby grand piano, and they placed their feet on the sustain stops, which allow the strings to be open. And they asked a person to come on the platform and to sing a certain note. And as that person began to sing that note, that piano, something happened that I never would have thought would have happened. The piano began to sing with the person. Seriously. Without the hindrance of the stop being on the strings, the vibration that was in the air from that person's strong voice, that same vibration was picked up on the right strings in that piano, and that piano sang the same note as that person's voice. What a powerful picture of unity and how the Holy Spirit, who we might say kind of sort of sings in our hearts together, and we sort of make that melody unto the Lord together in our lives. Unity is a powerful way. God uses unity among believers to confirm His direction for us. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." So we can see how God uses people. But there's a second thing I always look for, not just unity, but clarity. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is a God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Most of the times where there's confusion, the Lord is, at the very least, He's not really turning on the green light yet. And when God makes things clear, it really, well, pardon the redundancy, but it clears things up. When God, isn't that profound today? Aren't you glad you came to church for that nugget? Right? When God makes things clear, it clears things up. Really, is that the best you got, Pastor? That really might be the best I have, okay? But I can tell you that really is helpful for us. The Lord clears things up. And so I think that it's important for, especially when we're where we are as a church and we're thinking questions about, God, how are you steering us? For us to go back to the basics and for us to consider the roles of unity and of clarity for us. And one of the things that sort of makes my heart be secure as I come to these big important decisions in life is just knowing that God is there. And I hope that this will be comforting to you as well. Psalm 139, it's a psalm of David. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm today. In fact, I'm just going to read the first six verses. But look at what David writes here. This is what a beautiful psalm. He says, "O Lord, you have searched me and know me." Now, I don't know if you're comforted by that or scared by it. Maybe you ought to be a little bit of both. "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." Tucked away in these verses, we have the term that's oftentimes used of God. God is omniscient. What a big old word. What does that mean? It means that God knows everything. Let me ask you, can you think of anything that God doesn't know? Let's just think about it. Is there a math problem that God can't solve? Can God make a rock so big that even He can't lift it? That's like what the seventh grade boy says to you when you're teaching that class. That's why middle schoolers are the armpit of humanity, okay? Now, that's a non sequitur. It's a nonsensical question. We see very clearly here in verse 2 that God is omniscient. "You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar." Can you think of anything God doesn't know? And then watch this. Can you think of anything God doesn't know about your own life? Again, I don't know whether to be encouraged or whether to be frightened. But we see very clearly here that God knows everything. And that in light of that, we see God's direction. Look in verse 5. It says, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." What is he saying here? He's saying that God is supernaturally directing our paths. Now, I say all that to say this. For a really long time now,
your elders here at Crossroads Baptist Church have been on a journey where we have been seeking God's direction prayerfully concerning our facilities situation. And for some of you, this may be maybe news. Some of you have been around a long time. But in December 2011, Crossroads Baptist Church took its first breath. A new church was born on that day. A church with a clear vision. God gave us a vision to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. A church that was committed to biblical teaching, to biblical leadership, and to biblical ministry. And by the grace of God, we quickly grew. And over the last 3 years, we've seen a phenomenon happen over the last 3 years in the life of our church. Our church would grow, and you look around, it's fall break. I can count a number of families that aren't here, but there aren't many seats available around you today. Our church would quickly grow, and we'd sort of get to a place, and then it would contract again. And then about 6 months later, it would grow, and it would contract again. And about four cycles, we've been through this, and I figured out that the cap on our church, our facilities cap, is somewhere about 220 people. Now, many of you may know that I'm about to finish up my doctorate in church growth, and there's a simple principle in church growth that you learn really in your first semester, and that's this. In the life of a church, when it concerns any type of facility, whether that's parking, nursery, sanctuary, any type of physical space, 80% is full. Now, that's not true worldwide, but it's true in America. 80% is full. Because in most places, we have this idea of personal space. I go on mission trips to other places, and it's funny because, you know, in the Philippines, we'll go there, and a 15-passenger van to us is a 30-passenger vehicle for them. But for us here, a 15-passenger van will comfortably seat 8. Right? We have a different idea of personal space. Like, we don't want somebody all up in our business. You know, give me some space. And that's why in our church, you'll be thankful to know that we sprung, these are the deluxe size chairs. You've got an extra 2 inches on every chair. Because, you know, once upon a time when they measured space in churches, they said, okay, for every person, you need 18 inches. Look at your neighbor and say, that just ain't working for us. Okay? So today, you sit on 24-inch seats. And some of you wish they were 28. 80% is full. And so what has happened is we can't defy that law. And so we've hit that 80% point. We even pass it for periods of time. And then we contract. Now, I can tell you that as we've dealt with this issue of facilities, I have personally never been on a more prayerful journey in my life. Your elders here at Crossroads are men of prayer. They're not perfect, okay? They are not without flaw, but I can say this to their credit. They are men of prayer. And so right now, I want to invite them to join me on the platform. All of your elders, you may not know who they all are, but I'm going to invite them to come up here. You say, well, what does it mean that these guys are elders? These men are co-pastors of this church. I'm going to take just a second to introduce them to you. Where's Patrick Walsh at? Okay. Yeah, I knew we were missing one. Very good. He'll be along. Imagine that. Patrick's late. Oh, did I say that out loud? Yeah. I love him. I love you. He's serving. I love that. See? And now I feel bad. Thank you, Mary Jo. Brandon Given is one of our elders. And all of these men have been elders, with the exception of two, have been elders since the inception of our church. Brandon Given, Bob Miller, Ronnie Pence, John P. Witz, Wes Durham. Doug Grinnell is our newest elder. He came on board. Huh? Yeah, the youngest, right? And Randy Pettis, and then Patrick Walsh also was not here from the inception of our church. He too is an elder. There are only two of us that are paid to do what we do. That's myself and Patrick. But I can say to you that these guys are not only prayerful, but they're really hardworking. With the exception of Bob, who's retired, whatever that means, because he works pretty hard for Doris. With the exception of Bob, all of these guys have full-time jobs. And so their duties and their functions in the church, which are many in the life of your church, their duties and their functions are fulfilled on top of their regular duties that they perform in their church. And so we've been looking, and I'm so thankful for their sacrifice. Now, as we've looked for space, let me help you understand, there are sort of three criteria that have galvanized us. Now, we haven't always put these in the same order, but these three criteria have always been on the list. The first is obviously more space. We need more space. We have just shy of 9,000 square foot in this facility. We need more space. We probably need at least double that. Okay, 9,000 square feet, we probably need somewhere in the ballpark of 18,000 to 20,000 square feet. Another priority for us, because of who we believe God has called us to be as a church, has been high visibility. We feel like God has called us to be aggressive in reaching our community. That means that we can't hide somewhere down a back road. And so we really feel like God has called us to be in the right location. And then the third is aesthetic. Now, if you look around you, can you see the stained glass in this church? You cannot. For some of you, and for most of you, it'll be people that are over 50. This may not seem like a significant thing, but for people that are younger, and especially those that are younger and that are either unchurched or they're previously churched, they've walked away from church, aesthetic means a lot. The churches that are growing the most rapidly in America are those that many times have a very untraditional feel to them. And so we've sort of asked ourselves, how do we prioritize those three things? And we've looked at many places. You'll hear about that journey in just a second. But I can stand here today with these elders and tell you that we are galvanized in unity because we feel like God is sending us for a season to Elizabethtown Christian Academy. Now, for those of you who don't know where that is the old Severns Valley building. It's right around the corner. Now, this we feel like is the next stopping point on our journey, and I can say to you, we are unanimous on this. We met with most of our deacons last Monday night, and of those that we met with, they were unanimous behind it. But it's very important that you understand how we got to this position, because we didn't just wake up and decide it. How did we discern that this was the will of God for our lives? And so, in order to help you to understand that, I want to recognize a couple of our elders. The first is Ronnie Pence, and he's going to speak to you sort of about the journey we've been on. Now, what Ronnie will tell you won't be exhaustive, but it'll help you get the gist of how thorough and comprehensive our search has been. So, Ronnie, I want to recognize you right now.
Okay. Okay. A little close. All right. Okay. When we started this process, 2013, really, is when we started looking. You know, I guess I was kind of under the impression that, you know, there's lots of buildings out here. There's things you can convert into churches, different things. So this has been a pretty exhaustive search. I just want to go through a few of these and share with you the experience that we've had and how God shuts doors, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, the first thing that I did, I thought, well, you know, I'm a banker, you know, I see a lot of different things and involved in a lot of different things going on in E-Town, so there's got to be some stuff out there. So I called on some people that deal in commercial property a lot, people like Kevin Addington, Tim Albach, Mark Harris, several others, you know, just trying to, where's some spots available that we could possibly use to convert into a church. So we started out with, one was the E.W. James building down here on the corner. You know, it's a great location, it's plenty of space, lots of parking. And when we looked into it, it would cost about $1 million to renovate that building into what we would want it to be. So that plus approximately 1.7 to buy it, he was looking at 2.7 million, which would translate into a payment of about $20,000 a month over a 15-year period. So I kind of nixed that. So now it's going to be a Walmart's bought it, now it's going to be a neighborhood grocery. So there you go. That's number one. Number two, we looked at the Herb Jones building down here across from the courthouse. You know, it's just doesn't work. I mean, it's an old building, not a great location, so we kind of, you know, we didn't feel good about that. I guess a little more recently, we've looked at, You know, the Gloryland Harvest Church in Radcliffe came available. Nice building. You know, it's really out of our footprint. You know, I think it's really important. We feel it's really important that we stay in, you know, somewhere in this area. And so that's just kind of, we didn't feel good about that. Well, then we looked at another source of, there's many different ways people do churches now. One is what we call like a church on wheels, where basically you've got, you have vans and things that you put your chairs and your sound equipment and different things in, and on a weekly basis. Some people are doing these in schools and movie theaters and different things. So we looked at that and talked to Tim Isaacs, who's a good friend of mine. He's principal at Central Hardin, and he said, oh, yeah, you know, we lease out our space all the time to different organizations. And so the one that we felt like would probably be a good good fit for us, a good location, is Heartland Elementary over across from Cool Springs. So Emily Campbell is the principal there, a good friend of Tim's. He said, you know, we'll let y'all take a look at it, see what she says. You know, everything sounded pretty good about that. Very positive, great location. It's, you know, there would be some setup and tear down every week, a lot of space, a lot of parking. I got a call back from her one day. It was just like, no, you know, it just won't work. You know, so, you know, I guess it's no. So then we looked at, you know, we spent one Sunday at TK Stone. And we looked at the auditorium there. I talked to John Ballard, who's the superintendent of E-Town City Schools. So I thought, well, that's a good place to start. Start at the top, you know. So John was very positive about this. He was so positive. He said, you know, you'll have to fill out a little application. It'll have to be approved by the Board of Education. He was so positive about it. He went and talked to the Board of Education before he even had the application filled out. And the board was like, and they rent their building out. You know, like I said, we've used it before. Talked to the Board of Education. It's like, no, we don't want to be in the rental business. So, you know, John even felt really bad, I think, after that. You know, if there's anything he could do to help us, you know, he'd be more than willing to do it. But that just isn't it. We looked at the old G.C. Burkhead building, where the school, you know, where one that's they moved out of. You know, it's not the greatest location in the world. We felt like it might be a good temporary spot for us if we could do some things with that. Talked to Gary Milby, who's over the property in Hardin County. Well, in fact, I called for Gary at the superintendent's office, and Gary wasn't there. And they said, well, Nanette's here. She's superintendent of schools. So what do you want to talk to her? Absolutely, that's even better. So talked to Nanette, great Christian lady. She said, I don't really see that being a problem. We rent out our buildings a lot of times to different groups, but, you know, it had to be approved by the school board. She said the space, you know, they've talked about maybe moving Brown Street into that. And so she said, well, let me talk to the board, and then I'll, you know, see what we can work out. Came back, talked to the board. The board said, no, they couldn't do it because they're going to put Brown Street in there. Came out in the paper the very next day. They're putting Brown Street there. So, you know, I guess to me, this has been a very, I mean, I've prayed about this a lot. I don't feel like I need to pray about it a whole lot more. I mean, God's closed a lot of doors, you know, and I guess there's one thing about you know, I think it's really important. The church is not the building we're in, whether it's this one or some other one. It's all about the people. And right here is the church. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie. That's very helpful to understand. So you could see, and again, the things that he mentioned aren't necessarily exhaustive of all the things that we looked at, but you can get a good feel for how thorough our search was and how we looked for space. And one of the questions that some people have said, well, is there any way that we can stay where we're at and make this work? And so as God has closed doors externally, it's been interesting to see how God also has repeated that same process internally. Now, the person that has dealt with our landlord the most is John Peewitz. He's sort of the spokesperson for our elder body that deals with Bill Evans, a godly man. And so, John, can you kind of bring the folks up to speed on when our lease will terminate and what that will mean for the future for our church?
Sure. Thank you. So we actually signed the lease initially a year before Crossroads was launched out on its own. We were still part of Franklin Crossroads at the time, and that was in 2010. And it was a 5-year lease, and it does have an option to stay here for another 5 years on rental terms that were to be determined at the time. And so we're coming up on that. The end of November this year, the end of next month, is when the initial term would be over. And so we always knew there was an option of potentially staying, and we would just have to get together with the landlord and decide what those terms would be. As Rob said, Bill Evans has been a wonderful landlord to us. He's been great from the start. When we first came into this building, a lot of you, if you hadn't seen it beforehand, it did not look anything like what it does today at all. It had a false floor in here. It had multiple false ceilings. There was tile in here from like the 60s or 70s when they built a couple of the things afterwards. And we had to do a lot of work to get the building into the shape that it was. Spent about $250,000 by the time we bought chairs and everything else as well. And so because of that, because we were doing so much work on the building to improve it, Bill gave us a steal of a deal and essentially let us have the building for the first 5 years at his cost, which was even more than what we were hoping for. It was a much better deal than what we were even going to propose to him. And so we knew that at the end of those 5 years, that time of such extreme grace was going to be over and that rent was going to go up to a more reasonable market rate for the building. And so to that end, it was something where when we got together, we had been talking about it for a while. We knew the rent was going to go up and probably pretty significantly. I want to share one thing with you real quick that from Scripture, from something that was going on with the early church, and I think it sort of applies to this situation and how we've asked God to give us such clarity on things. And a lot of times, one of the easiest things to do in life is to stay where you are. Yeah, a lot of times it takes pressure to cause us to move. In Acts 1, Christ is about to ascend back to heaven, and he's talking with the disciples, and he says to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Acts is 28 chapters long, and 25% of the way through the book, you're in chapter 7, and they're still in Jerusalem. That's as far as they've gone. They haven't gone to Judea or Samaria, and certainly not to the ends of the earth. And so it takes a little bit of nudging from God to get them out. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaches a great sermon and really gets on to a lot of folks there in Jerusalem. And the result is that he is killed. He becomes the first martyr in the church. He's stoned. And right after that, in Acts chapter 8, it says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church. And entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." So you see that God starts fulfilling the commission that he gave to his disciples to take the gospel to Judea and Samaria by persecution. He brings persecution to the church and scatters them, and as they go out, then they begin preaching the word in these other areas outside of Jerusalem. And so sometimes it takes God bringing a little bit of pain in order to get us to move from where we are, because it's always very comfortable to just stay put. And so to Rob's question, what if we just stayed put? And so in all of this time, as we've been praying, we kept asking God to make it very clear to us and to open the one door where he wants us to go and to close the other doors. And he's done that in so many ways, as you heard Ronnie talking about door after door that closed in so many locations that we looked at. And as we went and came to the time where I met with Bill to find out what he felt was a reasonable proposal for us to do if we were going to consider staying here and renewing for a further time period to stay in this location, besides the fact that we already have the challenges of as you look around, even on a fall break weekend, there's not very many empty seats in here. If we're going to grow the church, we need a place to put people, and we don't really have that here. But beyond that, we got the proposal to stay in this building to renew, and if we were going to do that, if we wanted it on the most flexible terms, rent would go up over 130%. And even if we were to renew for a period of 3 years, which is, again, a lot longer than we would want to stay here because we're already maxing out really what the capacity is over that 80% mark, it would still result in our rent being doubled. And so the proposal that we're looking at is, and by the way, those, if you look at this building, the condition that it's in now, those are reasonable rates. It's not going up so much because the landlord's being unreasonable. He's being entirely reasonable on that, but it's going up so much because we got such a screaming deal on the front end. It was so cheap. You could even make the argument that the new rates he's proposing are still maybe a little below market rate. And so there's nothing against the landlord at all on that, but those rates would increase so much, it would make it about $1,500 a month more expensive than the ultimate option that we're talking about now in going over to the old Severns Valley location, where we would have more space for less cost, the ability to grow, and a lot of these things. And so we really viewed unanimously among all of the elders this proposal that came back to us from the landlord as being a very clear sign for us to not stay here, because it would be so much more of an increase in that beyond the option to move. And again, it wouldn't solve our problem of space. Thank you.
Thank you, John. So you could see how the Lord was moving to not only close many of the doors where we were looking outside, but our space issue combined with the new economic terms close really the door on staying. And so we believe that God has abundantly answered our prayer. Our prayer has always been, God, give us unity, and God, give us clarity. And the Lord has done that in such a beautiful way. And I believe that God has us on an amazing journey as a church. And in so many ways, Elizabethtown Christian Academy fits our next step needs. There's better nursery space. Last week, again, a bookend on fall break weekend, between our nursery and our children's church, there were 37 kids back there. That's enough to give a person a nervous tick, okay, in the space that they're in, okay? I heard an amen. You must have been working back there last week. And so, but imagine going into a space where we'll have more designated space for those ministries that already have outgrown their footprint. We'll have better space for our children. They've already outgrown their footprint. Imagine having better space for them. We'll have better space for our youth, which means just having any space for our youth, because every space that our youth have right now is a shared space, okay? And some of their space will be shared there, but they'll have some space that is designated for them as well. Imagine having more life group space. I mean, we have off-site life groups, but we also have on-site life groups. Being in a new location won't change that. We'll continue to have off-site life groups and on-site life groups, but we'll have room for additional on-site life groups to continue to meet the needs in the life of the church. More parking. How many of you park across the street, you know, to come to church? We ask you to do that. There'll be more parking where we're at. There'll be more sanctuary space. You look around you and there's not much sanctuary space. We'll be going into a sanctuary that's quite large. Now, having said that, we know that there are challenges to being at ECA. We know that from experience. We've been there before. Their space is definitely not modern. But I'll tell you that one of the things the Lord used in my heart was seeing what First Christian did during their stint there. The Lord gave them some very creative ideas that we can emulate to make that space, that sanctuary space, better reflect our personality
as a church. The building is cumbersome. How do you get, which entrance do you come in? How do you get to where you're going? But listen, here's how we solve that. We just need more of you to help to serve in our greeter ministry. You know, folks that can help. We've had tech issues there before, being there. Well, we know about that going in, and we're able to sort of fix some of those on our way in because we're able to articulate better the terms of our lease agreement going in. And so here's what we're recommending. We are recommending that we not renew our lease here, that our first service at ECA will be on December 6th, and that we hold services at an alternate site on November 29th, allowing for us to have a two-week period to move all of our tech to the new space. Now, the polity of our church is structured such that the elders are empowered to make this decision. But however, we need you to be prayerfully involved in this process. This is our church, all of ours. I hope you feel that way. I hope that there's a humble pride in your heart. Did I just use two words to contradict each other? But I hope there's a humble pride in your heart that this is your church. You're obviously invested. You serve, you show up, you give. You know, the church is the only organization on the planet that asks people to come to do all the labor for themselves and to pay to be here. Can you think of any other organization like that? But you know what? You do that, and you're faithful in that. And so here's what we're asking you to do. You've heard our proposal that we not renew our lease, that our first service be there on December 6th, and that we meet at an alternate site on November 29th. Here's what we're asking of you today. I want to give you six things we're asking. First of all, I want to ask you this week, would you commit to pray at least 1 hour for this? You know, if you would just pray 10 minutes a day with your family over your church facilities, you would meet that obligation. Would you commit to just pray 1 hour over this issue? Second, I want to encourage you to ask questions. Don't assume, because what I've learned is that whenever we assume an answer to a question, this may not be true for you, but it is for me, I almost always assume to the negative end of the spectrum. I never assume the most positive answer. I almost always kind of assume gloomily. So ask questions. I'm sure you have many questions. And to make ourselves available to you, our elders, a portion of our elders are going to be here at 6 o'clock this Wednesday night to answer any questions you have. I want to encourage you to show up. They'll be at a classroom over here. Our youth will be in this space right here. There'll be a classroom over here. Why don't you show up and ask any questions that are in your heart? You can feel free to call any of us before then, but I think it would be helpful for you because if you have a question, probably somebody else has the same question. And so because we're doing that, we're not going to have any adult programming this Wednesday. That will be the adult programming. Number three, we're asking you to be here next week. We're asking for affirmation from the congregation on this move. We're asking you to pray for it and be here next week to express that affirmation. Number four, I want to ask you to protect the unity of the church. You know, it doesn't matter what change is, but the devil uses change and instability to sort of weave his way and get his hooks into us. And so how do we protect the unity of the church? Here's how you do it. You deal with everything as biblically as you know how to do. You be filled with grace, and your tone and your response. You seek truth. Where there's disagreements, you deal with them in a biblical way. Protect the unity of your church in this. Number five, if the move is affirmed, and that's an assumption, it may not be, but if the move is affirmed and we believe that it's God's direction, we need you to sign up to serve. We're going to give you opportunities in the weeks ahead to sign up, to help paint, to help prep space, to clean space here, to move things, to be involved in the tech process. There's so many tasks that need to be done to make this happen by December 6th. And number six, we need you to be generous. There are startup costs that are involved in this and some things that we need to assume. We spend every dollar that comes in at this church because we believe in ministry. And we for a church our size, we support many more external ministries than most churches our size. And so this is a season when I'm asking you to be generous. Not only now, but as we continue, because I want to stress what we're proposing to you is a temporary spot for us. It is not our forever home. It is not our final resting place. You know what you call a final resting place, don't you? It's a grave.
And wherever God takes us after that, I will make no guarantees that that will be our final resting place. The Lord may move us like He moved the children of Israel through the desert. And that's okay, because there are a lot of people that need to be reached. And money is nothing but a tool. Why are we doing all of this? Why are we doing all of this? We feel like God has directed us, and we feel like that there is... the best way I know is to point back to my back road, my friend Joel Parks. I asked him, could I do this? He said, wave at him, Joel. They're all looking at you anyway, okay? He's that guy, that ugly guy sitting next to that pretty lady. Joel's on a great journey. He's a brand new Christian. Last spring, his brother died of cancer, and his brother had lived a kind of a troubled life. But in the hospital, he called in a chaplain, and he met Jesus. And he told Joel, before he passed away, he said, Joel, you need to meet God. And Joel walked in Randy Pettis's office the next week and said, where do you go to church? I need a church. Now Joel and Aaron are here, and he trusted Christ during our man camp. But here's what I want to say to you. There are thousands of Joels in Hardin County. I so thank God for what God did in his heart, but he's one among many. Why are we doing this? Because God has given us a clear vision to carry the gospel to all of the people that we know. And our facilities are a tool that we use in that. And so I want to ask you to do these six things, to pray an hour this week, to ask questions, to be here next week, to affirm, to protect the unity of your church, to sign up to serve, and to be generous. And one of those things we can do right now, okay? Two of them we can do, and we're going to do both of them. In a minute, we're going to pray. But before we pray, I'm going to do something that a lot of preachers would say is really dangerous. I wonder if here today somebody might have a question. Because if you have a question, I bet somebody else has a question. I told a preacher friend of mine I was going to do this. He said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? You don't ask for questions on a Sunday morning service. Well, I said, you don't know my church. My church isn't like that. We buy in. So if you have a question, because if you have it, somebody else has it, stand up right now and let us get a microphone to you so everybody can hear you, so that we can do our best to answer any questions you may have today. Yeah, stand up, John. Can somebody get a microphone over to John?
My question is I'm under the impression that there's already a church at the ECA facility. Is that correct?
That is correct. So that is a great, we didn't really mention that. That is a great thing. There actually are two churches that are there right now, okay? We're talking about, just to be clear, that's a great question because it helps us to clarify. We're talking about occupying the large sanctuary space, not the small chapel space. But the two churches that are there have chosen not to renew their contracts. In fact, one of those churches bought the Glory Land Harvest building that we looked at, closing that door. And so the church that occupies the big space, they're moving there. And the church that occupies the small space also will be out, I'm told, by the end of November. So there are presently are two churches that are there. It is ECA's desire to put another church in that small space, okay? So there's their desire to fulfill that. But we'll have the large worship space, which for 18-inch Heine seats 900 people, okay? And for the rest of us, I mean, it seats a lot more than we seat now, right? Okay? It's a great question. Did I answer your question? Yeah, over here.
Got it.
For those of us that aren't familiar with ECA, would we have an opportunity to look at the facility so that we know what we're praying about specifically, not just to move or not to move, but what we're praying about specifically, like my nursery concerns or a Sunday school concern or that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know, guys. What's the answer to that question? We haven't thought about that. We're going to answer you right now, okay? Okay. So let me ask you this. Doug, since you have access to that facility, Would you be available?
This is why he let the question be answered now.
Yeah, yeah. Your question is...
He's all about the hot seat.
...is being answered in real time, okay? Would you be willing to, after the meeting on Wednesday night, okay, along with some of the other elders, to walk over, anybody that wants to go over and see?
Sure.
Okay. So if you want to be... If you have questions, show up Wednesday night at 6. If you want to go see the facility, show up Wednesday night at 7-ish, okay?
And with that in mind... thank you, church. I was on vacation last week. It was amazing. We had a really great time as a family, and I wasn't able to communicate this. Youth will not meet like we normally would. We're going to be a part of this, too, and they were protecting our space and our time. Youth are going to be in that same discussion, and it'll be here in the sanctuary.
Okay, so the discussion will be held. Thank you, Patrick.
The discussion will be here, okay. And it'll be at 6. Youth won't meet. Now, kids will still meet, but youth won't. Food will still be here. Normal things will be here, but we'll all meet in here.
Okay, so did I answer your question, Janet? Okay, Jim? These are good questions.
What about the gymnasium in that section of the building?
Okay, so...
we get to use it!
Yeah, well, and
does that answer your question?
Well, let me answer it as honestly as we know how. We have not signed a lease with ECA, okay? So we have a delegation from our elders that are meeting with them tomorrow night, and we kind of know how they've done it in the past. We don't know exactly what that'll mean. We know that we'll have some access, but not carte blanche access, okay? What they have done in the past is when churches have used it, it's been an additional surcharge to when they used it. Now, we're asking for to be able to use it without that surcharge, okay? We got some really awesome negotiators up here. I'm not one of them. But so I don't really know. I don't have an answer to give you to that, but that informs you on how it has been. And what we're asking, the surcharge in the past is pretty nominal of what they've charged to use it, but it's also, they use it a lot. And so just getting access to it at certain times is just a matter of scheduling, okay? Any other questions over here in the corner? Yeah, that's a great question. So that we will have office space there. We will have office space there. We'll have space for our Tuesday senior adult Bible studies. All of our, we're anticipating that all of our ministries that are typically housed here will be housed there. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Yeah, that's a great question. How many of you guys, by show of hand, were a part of our journey when we were there before? Some of you, a small portion, okay? Well, more than a little bit small, but thank you. And so some of you know. And so this gives you some people to ask questions of, okay? It's been a part of our journey when we were there before. Church, I just want to thank you. If there's no more questions, I just want to thank you. Yeah. What's that? Yes, you may.
It wasn't specifically pointed out. You may have got hints of it in what Rob said, but I think it is worth noting. Okay. When we went into this process, and even when we got more earnest about it over the last several months, we did not go into this process wanting to go to ECA. That doesn't mean that that's not where we're completely unified about going now, but I just say that to say that God really changed our hearts. There was a point in time in my own life a number of years ago where Karen and I were looking at moving potentially. We had places on our list where we wanted to go. We prayed a lot, asked God to make it really clear, and we ended up going somewhere ultimately that at the outset of that process was not where we wanted to go, but by the end of the process and through prayer, we were completely at peace about it. We were very comfortable with it, and we had unity. And that's what has happened during this process. We ended up at a place that was not our first choice, or second, or third, or fourth, probably. But at the end of this process, we're all very much at peace about it and have complete unity about it. And that's been something that God has used powerfully over the last 4 years that we've been a church, is whenever we have a decision that we need to make, we're very prayerful about it, and we always ask God to give us complete unity. Technically, it's enough for us to have a supermajority vote, to have on most issues about a 75 or 80% vote, and that would be sufficient to do anything. But really, that's never our desire. Our desire is always to have 100% unity in the decisions that we're making, and God has given us that overwhelmingly in this case.
Yeah, that's a really good point, John. Which elder was most hostile to going there early on? The Lord has molded my heart, okay? And so, John, did you have a question? Did you raise your hand? Somebody said they something. I thought.
Miss Donna. Okay. And as I'm walking over to Miss Donna, something else I want to make really clear is we will not be doing the same thing with the nursery space as we did before. So those of you who are here before know
that
we had
different.
To share nursery and kids space with a permanent daycare. And what I've been told verbatim was that was a nightmare. We will have our own unused nursery space only for ourselves. That we're doubling the nursery space and making it 10 times better than we have right now. On top of the kids space will be designated strictly kids and might be used other times by other people, but will be our space that we negotiate. Nobody else is negotiating.
That's correct.
So that hopefully that answers some questions. Ms. Donna?
I was just wondering if it was basically the same space.
No.
As we have
had
before.
And that's a good clarifying point for those that have been there before when we were there part of our journey before. The space is different. In fact, when I say different, in my opinion, better for us. So we learned some things having been there before about kind of being scattered in different places. And so it's much more conducive for us as a body. And so having had that experience before, we're able to sort of negotiate some of those things up front. Yeah. Yes, Terry.
Get the cafeteria that you had before downstairs part that we used to use for our dinners and stuff.
Yeah, my answer to you is the same answer to Jim. So we would have access to it. There's a small surcharge, but we're asking for that. So that'll be negotiated actually tomorrow. Okay? So, yes, Stephanie.
With Kids Cafe?
Okay, so they are there, but those of you guys who don't know, Mission Hope for Kids, right. So we are not sharing space with them. Our church invests monthly in Mission Hope for Kids. We support their ministry. It's a fantastic ministry. Their space is completely separate from ours. Mm-hmm. These are all great questions.
Although if you go over there, when we toured it, I was completely turned off. Until we went into Mission Hope for Kids, that changed a lot for me because what they did with their rooms that they have is remarkable.
It's like walking through IKEA.
It's unbelievable. And Ronnie Pence kept saying, oh, I saw this on Pinterest. I saw this on Pinterest. Because
he's
one of the biggest Pinterest users of all you ladies.
He did. Okay. So... You're going to walk out of here and you're going to think, man, I wish I'd asked that question. And that's why we'll be here on Wednesday, because we threw a lot at you today. And I know that's how I work. I walk away and I process. I hope you understand that there's a reason why we're doing this in the rapid time succession that we're doing, because we have a target date of being there on December 6th. That's why we're asking for affirmation next week and not asking, not elongating this prayer season, okay? Because we need to make that decision rapidly so that we can get things rolling, so that we can make that our new home and get this place ready for whoever is here next. But if you walk away and you think, man, I wish I'd asked that question, then you know to be right here in this spot on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, okay? And so, listen, I just want to thank you. I know today's worship experience was very different, but this is important. This is really important on our journey. And here's the thing. I'm so excited to have many, many more new open seats in a sanctuary. And here's why. Because every one of those open seats represents what? An opportunity. Represents a person that you know already, probably, that you can invite to come and sit next to you to worship in a place where you know they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so I said we could do two things. One is ask questions. The other thing that we can do is part of those six things I've asked you to do today is that we can pray, okay?